It's the Press Box on ESPN 1100 and 100.9 FM.
Back here on a Friday afternoon, rolling along on a beautiful and perfect day as we get you ready for your fantastic weekend that awaits you. 1:30, 1:35 or abouts, we'll do the weekend bankroll from Dollar Loan Center, in which $900 is on the line for you. You just have to pick sides and totals and beat Ed and I. It's hard to do. 900 bucks. We've been doing quite a very nice job there. And we'll take your calls then, 1:30, 1:35 around there. But now joining us now is our biweekly sports injury expert. It's Dr. Caleb Pinneker, who's just finished a one-year fellowship at Dr. James Andrews Institute in Gulf Breeze, Florida. He joins us now. We're privileged to have you here. Thank you, Dr. Pinneker. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, thank you, and good new year for you. You got to hang out in Vegas for a little while?
Sure did. Spent a little time in Vegas. I know we talked last time about how no winter's complete without some snow, so spent a little quick trip to visit. We were up in near Jackson Hole, Grand Targhee.
Oh, real snow.
Yeah, okay. real good snow.
Mount Charleston, you kind of go for the little dusty and say, oh, okay, it exists.
Exactly.
You know, yeah. Let's get, I know Clay sent you some on the injuries. One that jumps off the top of my mind, because the kid's a local kid, went to Bishop Gorman. I asked Clay this yesterday. We obviously don't know the answer. So DeMarco Murray's out, and they're terming it a sprained MCL. What we wanted to know was, and it might be a very simple question that is a simple answer, is what is the risk on a sprained MCL with a NFL running back to play? Can he play with that and walk off that field after the game with the exact same injury, or is it pretty much guaranteed he would do more damage?
It's not guaranteed. And with the bracing, they have very, very high-tech bracing to prevent the stress that the MCL protects. And so if you can give this guy a brace and keep him, the amount of cutting that he's going to do is going to be the trick, because too much lateralization can stress it, but the brace really does protect it pretty well.
So even on the cutting?
It can. And it also, like everything, and we'll talk some about some grades of other injuries today, depending on how severe the sprain versus partial tear versus complete tear, they wouldn't be letting him play if it was real higher in that hierarchy of tears. And so if he's in a good brace and if he... And
he
if it's a milder injury,
play. They ruled him out, so I'm assuming the degree is large.
Probably higher.
It's an NFL playoff game, so it's got to be very high. But I was always wondering that, like, you know, is there a level of sprain or tear that you could play with and still walk away 2 hours later and say, well, it's the exact same thing?
Yeah, there is. If it's the lower level injury, then you can play. If there's still stability of that ligament, if there's any instability of the ligament, you got to let it settle down.
And Dr. Pinneker here is with us. He's also at Crivetti Orthopedics here in town. You can go online, CrivettiOrtho.com. And thinking of what happened in the playoffs for this coming weekend, we have the Buffalo Bills running back LeSean McCoy. He's listed as a game-time decision. Last Sunday, we saw his ankle turn in a way that it made me wonder what you said a few weeks ago about NBA players. When you scope NBA players' knees, you find out that they have very old knees. I'm thinking for running backs in football, they probably have very old ankles. And that's why this is a very severely sprained ankle. Do you think they would actually have him play? And can you play? And how would you play with that?
Again, we'd be talking about how severe was his injury. I was reading about it, and it sounded like he was already out of a boot. He was already doing some, at least walking without much of a limp in a non-protected phase. So I would predict, again, he's in that earlier phase of the grades of sprain. And the amount of tape they're going to put on that ankle, if they're calling him a game-time decision, and he sounded optimistic on some of his interviews that I was watching and reading, and I would predict they could really tape him up tight, and I would predict he'd be able to get back.
It's very interesting, because we also have the Pittsburgh Steelers, who have a couple weeks off. They're on the bye. They play next week. But Antonio Brown is their best receiver in many, many years, and obviously the best in the league. A torn calf muscle is something very serious that we had not seen him experience this injury before, but they're very happy to keep his status very quiet. How can people return from a torn calf?
And I think, again, we're in that phase of what are we hearing versus what's really going on. It sounded and looked like he took a direct blow to that calf, as opposed to the type of injury where there's an explosive move and you really stretch that muscle.
Oh, really?
If this is more of a contusion or like a bruise, as opposed to a true tear, his recovery is a lot quicker. With a torn calf, as long as it's in the muscle and as long as the majority of the muscle fibers are still intact, we could see him come back a lot quicker.
His teammate Ryan Shazier is now, they said that his father quoted that he is now getting feelings in his legs. That's obviously very good news for him, but can you expand on what kind of injury it takes when you have that kind of like a spinal injury? How long does it take for you to get feeling in your legs, and will more happen? I mean, or is that kind of like, all right, well, he's topped out, at least he has feeling now?
With most nerve type injuries, we see people recover for even a year. And so it's hard to predict how much he might get. Usually at about a year, we start to say, hey, this may be where you're close. Mm. And the nerve recovers slow. So if he had any sort of tear through the nerve or any gap in his nerve, then that repairs starting from the highest point. So if this was in his back and you have to let the nerve repair all the way down toward the leg, it has a lot of room and a lot of distance to travel. And so usually you get some sensation back, and then we see how much motor function he gets back, and it's a very gradual and slow process.
Richard Sherman tore his Achilles.
Yes.
And he plays a position, backpedaling, cutting. He's in the NFL. I remember when Kobe Bryant tore his Achilles, and at that point in his career, people are like, okay, that's that. I mean, you're in your 30s. You're never going to be the same. Talk about the Achilles tendon, and it also seems like another one of these with the ACLs. There's not a lot of contact. It just goes. The more athletic you are, this sounds crazy, but is it the more athletic you are, the more finely tuned you are you more susceptible to something like that blown because you're just so tight and finely tuned? Or am I wrong and those guys have a better chance of not hurting themselves?
In an athlete that's that explosive, their tendon responds to that stress over time, and so they're We find that their attachments and the tendon attaching to the bone is actually real robust, real strong.
Okay.
But if you start to get into a pattern of inflammation, if you talk about Sherman, he described that he's been kind of battling both his ankles
for a long time,
for a while.
Right.
And so they've been trying to prevent this from happening, which if you have some tendonitis and some problem, your susceptibility to an Achilles rupture really goes up. And so the likelihood of him tearing it if he's already had problems, that wasn't totally unexpected, because we know that that's a risk factor.
Is that also, you hear, because a lot of times in basketball, you know, people have said sprains can be as bad or worse than breaks, and you're breaking down that tissue, and I've done it often, you roll it, and the next day you're just ballooned out, and people say that often can be worse than a break. A break, you know what it is, you put the cast on or whatever, and it's going to heal. The tissues on the sprain are even worse. Is this what you're talking about over time? You keep doing those things. You keep rolling. Are you breaking down kind of that Achilles tendon tissue to where eventually you could get the rupture?
Exactly. As the body tries to heal it, it heals. A lot of our body tissues heal with scar. And
right.
If you lay down scar tissue is not as strong as the normal healthy tissue. And so all the treatments are aimed at trying to reduce scar, reduce inflammation, and try to get you back to a healthy tendon. But if there is scar tissue that lays down, and in the episode like you're talking with a recurrent ankle sprain,
right,
that if that ligament stretches over time, you're more susceptible
to it.
And it's hard for that ligament to re-tighten if you keep putting that demand on it.
That's Dr. Caleb Pinneger, Southern Nevada's leading sports injury expert. He's at Crivetti Orthopedics, and you can go online to CrivettiOrtho.com to learn more. And another team on the bye is the Minnesota Vikings. They have the stable of quarterbacks, including one named Sam Bradford. As you know, he's now being allowed to practice, but he had just really debilitating knee injuries that succumbed his college years and pro years. And now it seems like, can you go back and have another surgery on knees that have already had torn ACLs? And how does that work out for your longevity?
It raises big questions, right? I mean, he had a second ACL surgery and now a knee scope. And so if he's developing bone spurs and if he's developing cartilage damage, you can trim that up and you can try to remove those irritating factors. But are they going to come back? I think the answer is unfortunately, yeah. I think this is something he'll continue to battle. We can give him some time, but he's really wearing those knees.
That's really that's really sad, because he's a young guy. He has a lot of promise. He's made $100 million, but he's really starting to make like kind of like a career adjustment, though. He seemed to be like more valuable in the last couple of years. And when you were with the Vikings, huh, you might even win a Super Bowl ring just being on the bench. Let's go quickly to the NBA. I brought up a name called Markelle Fultz.
Mm-hmm.
That
he's a kid.
It's really strange what happened to him because nobody predicted or saw this injury coming. In fact, they didn't even know how to diagnose it right because at first when they
first
pick in the draft, they wanted to start the year, but they're like, he's really complaining of some shoulder soreness. And they were holding him out, and they were kind of like some media members were belittling him, saying he doesn't have the strength to come on and even shoot the ball. What kind of pick is this guy? Now we find out it was something considerably more serious.
Yeah, he's... And from the sound of it, he's had quite a few opinions, seen a lot of really good doctors, and so far they're not finding anything that surgery is a great fix for. They're finding a lot of imbalance to the shoulder. The shoulder itself, such a mobile joint, so much demand on a basketball player with all their reaching and how much they're moving. There are so many muscles around the shoulder that stabilize the shoulder. So if he gets into a pattern of unbalance or if he starts to develop pain that they're thinking is postural or is because of some weakness in a few of those rotator cuff or a few of those surrounding scapula muscles or shoulder blade muscles to try to recorrect potentially what might be postural or habit over a long period of time, it's a slow process. So far from my understanding of what he's dealing with, they're not having any success in seeing something that they can, oh, good, let's go fix it with surgery.
Right.
This is more the slow, get the inflammation to calm down, rebalance the shoulder muscles, re-educate him on proper posture technique so that he can get back.
Wow, I think that that could be behavioral or postural. That's strange.
Yeah, staying in the NBA also, I assume Harden's out with a grade 2 hamstring strain for the Rockets. Assuming these grades between the knee and the hamstring, essentially it sounds simple, mean the same thing. The higher the grade, the more apt he might tear the hamstring, which you don't want to do. I mean, it's straining. It's one thing tear the hamstring for a basketball player like him. Is that true? Tell the minions here how many grades there are, and where do you really get susceptible to the tear? They say he's out, a few weeks on a grade 2? Does that sound right?
Yeah, it can be right. There's been a lot of our reports that come back with NFL players, NBA players, a lot of these guys can get back in a couple of weeks. A grade 2, which they're calling him, is a real wide range. So with a grade 1, you're talking about a strain where you predict that most of the muscle fibers are still intact. Okay. Grade 2 means a partial tear.
Oh, it does. Okay.
And so we see any spectrum of how many fibers are torn from 10% to 90%.
Okay.
If you tear the whole thing, you're talking about a grade 3. That means it's torn. Yeah.
Okay.
And so he's dealing with a partial tear. We don't have info on how much of that's torn, but we do know that even pretty severe partial tears can come back in a couple weeks.
How do you get the percentages? MRIs?
Yeah.
You look at the film and it'll tell you you can see right there the percentage of what's there and what's not?
Yep. It can be a little cloudy with how much, the muscle tears, it bleeds. And so we see a lot of swelling in the muscle.
It's hard to see everything.
We see fibers that are no longer connected and we see a gap and we try to assess strength versus what do we feel when we touch the muscle. Does there feel like there's a big defect or is it mostly intact? And those are all things we put together to determine what percent
what
it's
grade
torn.
You're going to give it.
Yeah.
We have a couple questions on the text line. It's off our sheet here. We don't normally talk about hockey injuries, and they're asking us, have you ever dealt with hockey players, and what kind of injuries do you mostly see? Is it in the back or in the legs?
Hockey players, they can beat up anything, right? We joke that the hockey player is the busiest surgeon or the busiest physician on the sidelines, the dentist, and I think that is kind of true.
That's true.
But hockey players can have a large spectrum of knee injuries. And they can definitely have a lot of shoulder problems. And back is in any sport, especially with the contact that those guys get. But hockey players, I haven't seen a lot of hockey players in my career thus far, but they definitely have their share of orthopedic problems.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well,
one other thing now. Pittsburgh.
Oh yeah,
Steelers offensive coordinator. Talk about that, but that was. I guess you can break your back any doing a lot of things. But what did you want to ask?
The offensive coordinator for the Steelers, Todd Haley, he got into some sort of scuffle on Friday night, on New Year's Eve rather. And all it was saying, and there's no police report, but apparently he was shoved outside a bar, and now he has a shattered pelvis. And I'm telling you what, I don't buy the I was shoved outside a bar and now I have a shattered pelvis. Shattered pelvis sounds like you got into a car accident.
And that's the first thing. Or you fell off something tall.
Not these new chairs.
A ground level fall and these comfy chairs.
Yeah,
now, if you fall off one of these, you should not be hurting your pelvis.
No,
that's for sure.
So somebody, have you ever dealt with that where you see somebody with like a shattered pelvis or a serious accident, a malady, and they give you some phony BS story?
Oh, the stories are great, and that's one of the funnest part of my job is
you really
you tell
it.
People in the office, you're like, you got to come up with something better. I mean, your story, it just doesn't work. But definitely, there's a long line of interesting stories of how people get hurt, and the more trouble a person could potentially be in for telling the truth, the wilder the story can get.
What's a shattered pelvis put you on the shelf for?
That's a real variable injury. If it's surgical, then, I mean, it's hard
months?
To know. Yeah, it can be a good while. Good while. And
guess trying to get
some
to the
big
Super
surgery,
Bowl.
Depending on what he has to have done. Shattered makes it really sound bad.
So, yes,
but
that's
I didn't hear exactly what he had.
That's not a word I want from the doc when he comes back after looking at the film.
Exactly.
You gotta see mild, right. You know, somewhat shattered to be like, I don't want to hear the rest.
Well, Dr. Pinneger, we definitely appreciate your time. We'd love having you in, and we thank you for all this time because we know you're so busy, and Fridays you make this time for us, this little window. That's really, really cool. What's coming up for you in the new year at Crivetti Ortho?
In the new year, I think we're excited at Crivetti Orthopedics to be taking care of the young athletes and old athletes alike, and we came off of a really busy conclusion to 2017 and looking to make it bigger and better coming into 2018.
Well, I can give the line here and not say who it is, obviously, because for the confidentiality, but I know someone, a young athlete, young female athlete who was at Crivetti this mm-hmm. week having the knee done on the ACL, and they said the experience was amazing, already moving it. You know, there's some, you know, there's always pain and stuff, and it's a young athlete who will obviously recover in time. And I asked you about that because you always hear 6 to 8 months on an ACL, but you told me before the show, and you know, the parents are so appreciative of what you guys did over there at Crivetti. You told me before the show, for the surgeon, for you, you'd like to have a year to say, okay, I'm pretty, I can, like you said, I can sleep well now thinking about you if it's been a year. Why, the 6 to 8 months you said they could get back, but why the year? You, just as a surgeon, you need the other 3 months to really make sure it's okay?
Just to really sleep well, no nightmares, anything. No,
right.
It's the when we put a ACL back in a person,
right.
We want that to reincorporate. We want there to be good blood flow. We want the muscles around the knee to be strong and stable to protect the ACL so that we're not relying on just a ligament to do all the work. We
right.
want the muscles. And it can take that long before the muscle symmetry compared to the other side gets close. And for those reasons, there's a lot of sports people can get back to depending on the type of sport. But the closer you are to a year, the better that ACL is looking based on all the other
data.
They
were really happy with Crivetti because I think, you know, it's your child and it's a young kid, a high school kid who's, you know, it's scary. I mean, if you've never gone through that, the dad had an ACL, but he was an adult when it happened. So, you know, I tore my ACL, I got to go in. But when you're talking about your child who's an athlete, who has a great future, that's going to be a scary thing. And they talked not only about how great you guys were with the procedure, but also putting their fears, you know, calming their fears. I mean, it can be a really stressful thing. I think, actually, I was telling you, it's funny, the kid was more, you know, texting back and forth was more kind of confident. You know, the parents, it's a hard thing, and I'm sure you see a lot of young athletes where parents are really concerned, like, you know, will they be an athlete again? Will they be the same, walking, running? That's what you're thinking as a parent.
Absolutely. And the parents have always got better questions than the kid because the kid's like, oh, sure, surgery, whatever.
Yeah, the kid's like, just get it. Just fix it.
But the parents, they're in it for the long haul. They want their kid to have the best future. Some kids are so stuck on the moment, but it's so important to think, and I'm glad to hear that
they had
a great experience.
Dr. Pinneger, we appreciate your time. Go online, CrivettiOrtho.com, to learn more at Crivetti Orthopedics. And Dr. Caleb Pinneger, Southern Nevada's leading sports injury expert. When we come back, $900 is on the line from the Dollar Loan Center for Weekend Bankroll. We'll get your calls ready at 364-1100.
Las Vegas is now a hockey town.